This is People First Radio On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads, available when you want to listen at chly.ca and at the People First Radio website.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
By the time the mainstream media began to focus its attention on the protests being held at the Pigeon Restaurant in the downtown east side of Vancouver, the protesters had been on the sidewalks in front of the new business for several weeks. The tenacity of the protesters, along with the entrepreneurship of the restaurant owners, set against the backdrop of the troubled Pigeon Park, has created what seems to be a prime backdrop for a social justice theme. That's the lack of affordable housing in Vancouver and, by extension, cities across Canada. We're joined on the phone by Jackie Wong, a writer and contributor to the Taiyi.
Welcome to People First Radio, Jackie.
Thanks very much, Kevin. I appreciate you having me on the show.
Give us a sense of what has happened over the past weeks around the Pigeon Restaurant in the downtown east side.
Well, Pigeon Restaurant opened in the downtown east side at the corner of Carroll and Hastings Street in Vancouver at the beginning of February. And since then, the restaurant, actually even before it opened, it was the subject of really widespread critical praise as Vancouver's downtown east side and Gastown area is one of the city's rising culinary hotspots. And I think one site of a lot of the anticipation and critical writing about the restaurant itself was in a website called Scout Magazine. And that's operated by somebody named Andrew Morrison, who's one of Vancouver's most influential restaurant critics. And he's been writing extensively about Pigeon, both in anticipation of the opening of the restaurant and also in the days since it opened its doors. He's been praising what he says is an excellent menu and cocktail list, and he's also been talking a lot about the design of the restaurant, which I think to me is one of the most controversial features of it. Pigeon, it has a large front picture window that looks directly across the street to a park named Pigeon Park, which is a longstanding and very well-used public gathering spot for downtown Eastside residents. And the way that the restaurant is designed is such that the diners are seated against tables that run across the length of the picture windows. So they'll be eating beef tongue and cheek and drinking wine on tap, but they also have a front row seat to look at people in Pigeon Park. And many of the individuals are experiencing compounding effects of extreme poverty and drug addiction and related health issues directly across the street.
Now, in an opinion piece in the National Post, and I'm going to quote from it, and I believe it was by B. Hutchinson. I'm sorry I don't have his first name. This is his description of Pigeon Park. Pigeon Park is a city-owned wedge of concrete backing up against a decaying building that once did business as a bank. The park's main feature these days, aside from a crowd of drinkers that gathers daily, is a $40,000 self-cleaning public toilet that never seems to work. The drinkers usually disperse by sunset. That's when the Pigeon protesters gather. Now, this series of protests attracted a significant amount of media attention. Why do you think that is?
Well, the protests have been ongoing, so it's not just a one-off event. And also, I think the media knows some of the protesters as also being part of some of the downtown east side's more vocal social housing advocacy organizations. And also, I think generally the general public and the media has been aware of the rapid change and gentrification taking place in the inner city. And as we know, gentrification is by definition the process of urban redevelopment that has the effect of displacing low-income residents or businesses for middle or high-income residences or businesses. And so recently, and I wrote about this in the Taiyi blog, information has emerged that the building that houses Pigeon was actually the former site of 30 units of rental housing for low-income tenants. And those tenants were evicted in 2008. And so now, 5 years later, the same building that used to house those 30 affordable rental units are now home to 21 market condominiums upstairs. And then downstairs on the main floor, there's Pigeon Restaurant. So Pigeon and the market condos upstairs have literally replaced what used to be a stock of affordable rental housing for low-income people. And so, I mean, it's really rare that we see situations that are as direct an illustration of gentrification as this one. And I think one of the other reasons why why media and the general public has been interested in the picketing is because of the name of the restaurant itself. And I don't really know what the restaurateur's intentions were in naming the restaurant, but I'm sure that protesters and others can see the connection between Pigeon Park across the street and also the name of Pigeon Restaurant. And secondly, the word pigeon, spelled as it is, P-I-D-G-I-N, it refers to a kind of simplified speech used for communicating with non-native speakers of a language. So if Pigeon English refers to a simplified form of English used to communicate with non-English speakers, Pigeon is, with its name, managing to do a couple of things. One, referring directly to the gathering space across the street, and also the name could be read as having you know, colonial overtones. But again, I don't really know what the restaurant's intentions were in naming the restaurant as it is. The website suggests that the name refers to a mix of cultural and ethnic influences at play on the menu and on the cocktail list.
Jackie, there's a notion that the so-called gentrifiers in the area, in this case it would be, I imagine, the co-owners of Pigeon, are mostly young people who have clawed their own way up the ladder, and they shouldn't be persecuted for having done that. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I have heard that argument before, and it is true that I think Vancouver's east side and the inner city, it is one of the last remaining areas where it's affordable for younger or newer business people to set up shop and start a business. And I do think that a lot of people who do start businesses in Vancouver are often younger, and they're doing so at pretty significant personal and financial and professional risk. But there was new information that emerged about Pigeon specifically in the Mainlander news site by a writer named Nicholas Allen, who shows that the people behind Pigeon are actually, they have business roots in financial services, software development, telecommunications, and personal consulting. And those are all businesses they were involved with before having made the jump into the restaurant industry. So while, the situation of kind of clawing their way up or struggling might be true for other entrepreneurs, it doesn't necessarily reflect the experiences of the people behind Pigeon. But of course, that doesn't represent the experiences of all restaurant owners in the area.
Are we learning new things about the lack of affordable housing and the lack of social housing as a result of the developments at Pigeon and the protests and the attention and the discussion?
Well, I think many of the protesters, they're also involved with an election, a BC election-related campaign called the Social Housing Coalition of BC, and that's calling on the provincial government to build 10,000 more units of social housing per year and also to strengthen residential tenancy laws to protect vulnerable renters. And so, I mean, if we look back in time at the sort of earlier stories about people who were living in the building that used to house Pigeon, and thinking about the ways in which they were evicted from their building, they were evicted for the purposes of renovations. And that's also known as something called renovictions, which is kind of a Vancouver-originated term. And that definitely speaks to the vulnerability that I think a lot of people face who are renters, especially low-income renters. And if we think about the vulnerable housing or lack of housing that people are experiencing, certainly the protests shed light on those issues.
We're speaking to you from Nanaimo, and the only way that I've been able to truly follow this is as a story in the media. It seems the mainstream media has moved on from this story in the largest part. What's happening right now? Are the protests still underway?
Well, in fact, actually, right now, it's about 12:30, and there's actually a press conference happening in front of Pigeon as we speak, and the protesters are actually announcing the expansion of ticketing efforts to another location in the downtown east side. I don't know what that location is yet, but I mean, I think in terms of what's happening now and what's going to happen down the road, I don't think the protests will slow down, but I also think it's important for the general public to consider what's at play behind the protests and also kind of take a second look at the sort of with us or against us debate that can kind of arise from these kinds of protests and also from the arguments that are laid out by the restaurant owners and businesses. I think in terms of learning more about the issue, Simon Fraser University in Vancouver is launching a year-long lecture series called Gentrification in the City. And that series is starting tonight in Vancouver at SFU Woodwards. And I think that people will be writing about it and posting information that they have online as well. So the intention of this series is to consider gentrification and its consequences in more of a broad context. So thinking outside of the inner city of Vancouver and thinking about other places like cities across North America, thinking about Vancouver Island or cities outside of just, you know, the main inner city, which sometimes we sort of get trapped in when we think about these kinds of things.
Jackie Wong, we just have a couple of seconds left. Is there anything else you'd like to add to our conversation?
I think that we covered it, but I appreciate you having me on the show.
Thanks very much.
Jackie Wong is a writer and contributor to The Tyee. You can find her online at jackiewong.ca. That's jackiewong.ca.
This is a People First Radio podcast. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society in partnership with Radio Malaspina Society and produced at CHLY Community Radio in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed in this interview do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the partnering organizations. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage. This is a People First Radio podcast. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society in partnership with Radio Malaspina Society and produced at CHLY Community Radio in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed in this interview do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the partnering organizations. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.